Well, the Greeks had a word for soldiers who didn't keep their rank. They had a word for an apprentice who failed to follow the rules of his contract. If he took more holiday than he was due, according to his contract, they would use this word of him, as well as of a soldier who didn't keep his rank. And it's the word that's translated idle here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Keep away from every brother who is idle. In verse 6 and verse 7, we were not idle when we were with you. Verse 11, we hear that some among you are idle. Perhaps other translators say disorderly, and that's a helpful translation, unruly or undisciplined. I think they're helpful translations of this word. I think the NIV, in its translation, is anticipating the form that the disorderliness took in this instance. I think it's helpful to keep to the more general reference as those who are disorderly, or hopefully. We normally have an overhead, but it doesn't. Oh, here we are. You might have to do the button deal for me. Hopefully, we might have something there. We'll see. I've called it when Christians are out of step. When Christians are out of step, they're disorderly, they are unruly, they are undisciplined, they're not in step. And that's, I think, helpful as well, because as it occurs in verse 6, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching we receive from you. The word for live is walk. Does not walk according to the teaching you receive from us. You've got the idea of being out of step. They're not walking in step. And so that's how we'll explore it together. Yes, there we are, when Christians are out of step. So let's look first of all then at out of step with what? Out of step with what? Now, they weren't out of step with what was fashionable at the time. Paul wasn't telling them off about that, but they were out of step with what was going on around them. That doesn't matter. Or that they were out of step with what had become established as church tradition. We do it this way. And that's not what Paul was saying about, you know, all churches. This was quite a young church that Paul was writing to. He wasn't saying that they were out of step with what had become church. This is the way that we do it. He wasn't saying about that. They were out of step with apostolic instruction. There it is in verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle or unruly or disorderly and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. That's what he means by being idle or unruly or disorderly. They do not live according to the teaching you received from us. Paul, Silas, and Timothy passed on to the Thessalonians a package of truth. Truth regarding Christian beliefs and Christian behavior. They were out of step with what Paul, Silas, and Timothy taught. If you've got one of the outlines, that's what you need in that first blank. They were out of step with what Paul, Silas, and Timothy taught. That's what was happening. They were out of step with apostolic teaching, the teaching of Paul and the team. And there's people in the church who were behaving like this. Notice in verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother, that means someone in the church, who is disorderly, who does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. Some in the church were failing to conform to the instruction the apostles gave, failing to keep rank as Christians in the church, failing to fulfill and perform their duties as Christian believers. And that will happen in every church, because Christians are not yet perfected. We'll make mistakes. We'll get things wrong. We'll fail to do what the New Testament tells us to do. And we'll need to be corrected and got back in step. There are times when we will get out of step with what the apostles taught. out. And this passage makes clear that that must be dealt with. A soldier who doesn't keep his rank, the commanding officer won't say, oh, never mind. No, the commanding officer will do something about it. An apprentice who takes more holidays than he should, his master will do something about it. And so too, in the Christian church, when believers are not living according to the teaching that the apostles give, something must be done about it, because they're out of step with the apostles' teaching, and that's serious, as we shall see. Well, then secondly, out of step in what way? There's a particular way in this context that they're out of step, but it's helpful just to remember we're looking at a broad principle, and we'll use it. It's important to keep the broad principle when you're out of step with what the apostles teach, this specific instance will help us to see how that should be dealt with. Out of step in what way? Well, it's in the matter of work and employment. The team, when they'd gone to Thessalonica, Paul, Silas and Timothy, had passed on commands regarding this. See what they say in verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule or this command: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. And here it is, if a man will not work, he doesn't want to work. It's not that he can't work. It's not that he's too ill to work. It's not that there's no job for him. No, he will not work. It's deliberate, willful disobedience. Well, if they do not want to work, then don't give them food to eat. Don't allow them to go on that way. You don't need to provide for them. They need to provide for themselves. That was the command that was given while Paul was there at the church. And notice in his first letter that he wrote a little while earlier, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the same thing is commanded. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands, just as we told you, just as we commanded you. So when Paul was in Thessalonica, he told these Christians, you need to work. You need to get a job and provide for yourself. They were told that. They were commanded that. That was a command that they received and was passed on to them. This command was then reinforced by writing, because we've just read what Paul said in his first letter to them. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. So what he had commanded them while he was with them, he reinforced later by writing it to them. And this command was modelled by the mission team. Look at verses 7 forwards. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not disorderly when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, labouring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. So the mission team, they didn't just give them this command, they modelled it. They put it into practice. They showed them that we're not asking you to do something unreasonable. We did it ourselves. And we, who had a right to receive support from you. Notice that's what he says there in verse 9. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help. They did. Remember the Lord Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, he said a worker deserves his wages. And he meant a gospel worker. A gospel worker deserves his wages. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 9, said, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Writing to the Galatians, Galatians 6 and verse 6, Paul says, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. So the principle was that gospel workers have the right to be provided for. But Paul says we didn't use that right because we knew it was important to set you a model, an example about how you should live. And I think they did that because they saw that things were going on in Thessalonica that needed a model to be set for them. They supported themselves, provided for themselves as an example. He says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. See, the problem was that these people in Thessalonica were not working. There were people in the church who were not working. They were relying on the provision of others. They were not working, they were not labouring, they were not providing for themselves. They were relying on others. Now, it's not clear why these Christians were out of step in this way. Some have suggested that they were expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to return at any moment. And so they thought, well, we don't need to work, he's coming at any moment. And that was perhaps what they were thinking, and they gave up working and just were waiting for Jesus to return. It may have been that, although that's not mentioned here. I think it's more likely that the culture of patronage that was practiced in Thessalonica and elsewhere in the Roman world had impacted them. What's this culture of patronage? Well, wealthy citizens in the Greek and Roman world would have an entourage of hangers-on, a group of people who would be their hangers-on. They were called clients. They were there really to enhance the reputation of their patron. And they would be provided for by the patron. They wouldn't have to work. Their patron would provide for them all that they needed. And so they didn't have normal jobs. They were just hangers-on to wealthy citizens. And they would seek to advance the interests of their patron by busying themselves in other people's business. They wanted to promote their patron, and so they would get in other people's business. I think that's what's going on in verse 11. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. They weren't working themselves. They were getting busy in other people's business, trying to promote their patron and his affairs. They had allowed the prevailing custom in the culture around them to shape their behavior. That's what they were doing. They were allowing the culture that existed around them to influence their behavior. Now, that's always dangerous for Christian believers. We're called to be separate from the world. We're called out of the world to be God's people. We have to be very careful that the culture around us doesn't influence us and impact us and shape us. We've got to be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. So these believers were out of step with the apostles' teaching. They were out of step in the matter of work and employment. They weren't working. They weren't providing for themselves. They were relying on the charity of others when they didn't need to, when they should have been working. So Paul explains how to get them back in step. They're out of step with how they should be living. They're not walking in step with the Christian community. How do we get them back in step? Well, first of all, but in verse 12 you'll notice that he gave them a command to get back in step. That's what a commanding officer would do. That soldier's walking out of step. He's not marching in step with the other soldiers. Soldier, get back in step. Notice verse 12. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And he commands them with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't say, I think you should start working. He says, no. We command and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not our idea. This is Christ's command for you. This is a vital and important thing. It comes with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, this command. Stop sponging. Get a proper job so you can provide your own food. That's the command that's given. He's reinforcing what has been said already. If a person won't work, they won't eat. So he's just reinforcing that command, laying it out clearly again once more with the authority of Jesus. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. But then the church is commanded to act. The person is commanded to get back in line, but then the church is commanded to act. The church must act together. Notice how this section begins in verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is disorderly, unruly, idle, and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. Again, look in verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Again, notice it's a command that comes with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers. You've got to be serious about this. This is not something you can just let go. If people aren't walking in line with the apostles' teaching, you need to address it. And Paul urges them in the name of the Lord Jesus to do so. This is an important, vital matter. And what are they to do? What must the church do? They must withdraw from this brother. These people must be made to feel the seriousness of the matter. We will show you how out of step you are by walking away from you. That's what's happening here, isn't it? You're out of step, and if you don't get back in step, we're going to walk away from you. We're going to withdraw from you. We're going to keep away from you. Verse 14, we're not going to associate with you. Notice, this is those who deliberately disobey, having ignored previous warning. This isn't someone who, the first time they slip up and fall. You don't do this then. This is someone who has deliberately ignored the commands. The commands that they were given earlier, the commands that they've been given now, the commands that they were given verbally, the commands that they were given in writing. If they carry on deliberately disobeying, this is the stage of action that must be taken. And they were warned back in chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul says, we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, warn those who are unruly and disorderly. So there were warnings given. So they are to keep away from them, distance ourselves from them. You're not in step with how Christians should be living. And we want you to understand how serious that is. And so you're not going to enjoy the closeness of fellowship with us that you have before. You're not going to be part of our church family to the same degree that you were before. Notice it's with a review to recovering them. Verse 14, if anyone doesn't obey our instruction, do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. You want to recover this person. You're not doing it to make them feel... you do want them to feel ashamed. You don't want to leave them in that condition. You want to get them back into the church family, back into the fellowship of the church. It's with a view to recovering them. But there has to be this deliberate, united action, distancing ourselves from such people. The community must act, because the misbehaviour impacted the community. These people were a burden. They were an unnecessary burden to the church. Yes, the church is going to provide for the poor and those who are in need, of course. But people are an unnecessary burden. They were a burden to the church. And their behaviour reflected badly on the church. Notice again what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. So if they weren't living in that way, that was a bad reflection on the church. If they weren't keeping in step with the apostles' teaching, it reflected badly on the church as a whole. And that's why the church as a whole needed to take action. And so, how do you get them back on track? You give them the command again and tell them clearly what you want them to do. If they don't respond, you withdraw from them. You isolate them to some degree, not as an enemy, but as a brother who has made a terrible mistake and is out of step, in order to win them back. But then notice in verse 13, and as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. I think the idea here is that Christians who are walking in step should keep walking in step. Don't lose heart doing the right thing. Don't let their behaviour get you down. And I can hear my dad saying on numerous occasions, don't get like them, son. Don't get like them. Keep going, doing what's right. Keep following the instructions that you've received. Don't lose heart because others are out of step and bringing the situation into disgrace. You keep going, doing what is right, doing what is good. And so those three steps, I think, for dealing with those who are out of step. In this particular instance, it's those who are out of step in regard to work and employment. But that principle can be applied to any way that Christians are not walking according to the teaching of the apostles in their behaviour and lives. We'll tell them what the Bible commands. It's not what we command. It's not what we think should be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus, this is how you should be behaving. If they don't respond, then we have to withdraw from them. So they realise how serious it is. And then we're to keep going ourselves in the way of Christ's commands. Because you see, this passage tells us that we are in this together. Christians are part of a body. Many Christians think that we're independent individuals. I can do what I like, I can go my own way, I can do my own thing. No! Christians are part of a body. They're brought into union with other believers in the church. And so therefore we have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to care for one another, to keep one another in step, to get one another back in step. We have this responsibility. You can't just go your own way and do your own thing and think it doesn't matter. No, we are in this together. And so as a church, we must be prepared to put this into practice. Because there will be times when we get things wrong. There are people within the church don't do what the New Testament commands. And together, graciously, we must set before them, this is what the Bible commands you. This is how the Bible commands you to live. If they don't listen, then we must make them see how serious that is. And withdraw from them the closeness of the fellowship that they should have with us while we keep going ourselves. And perhaps we haven't put it into practice yet because we haven't been bold enough to do so. We're not a perfect church. We're not. We're not all walking as we should. So let's make sure that we don't just read this as an interesting historical document. This is something for us to be putting into practice. This attitude that we're in this together, we have a responsibility to each other, and we have to help each other in order that we walk right. Even that means making tough decisions. It's important that we're walking as we should in terms of the teaching of the apostles, because that's a witness to the world around us. It reflects so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. That's what we're aiming for as we seek to put this into practice. So that people realise that being a Christian makes a difference to how you live. We don't just adopt the practices of the culture around us. We don't just do what's fashionable. We do what the Bible says. And if we're not doing what the Bible says, we're going to help one another get back in step to do what the Bible says. That it might be for the glory of God and his church, for the honour of Jesus Christ, who is head of the church, and for our good as followers of the Lord Jesus. And that's why in this passage, time and again, Paul says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we make these commands, because he is head of the church, and these are his rules that he's given for his people. Well, let's pray. Our God, we thank you that your word reminds us that we're in this together as Christian believers. We're not just doing our own thing and going our own way. We're part of the body, the church, and we have responsibilities to each other, to care for each other, to help each other, to warn each other, to correct each other. Lord, help us to realise how important it is to walk according to the teaching of the apostles. Lord, we do want to win the respect of outsiders as they see that our lives are different. Lord, we do need your help and grace. So be with us, we pray, as we seek to put these things into practice for the glory and honour of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn, it's only on the screen, is Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. It's a hymn about as we come to the Bible to discover what God's will. I think the important thing in this hymn is that it's corporate. It's not speak, O Lord, as I come to you. It's as we come to you, because we're in this together. And the Bible speaks to us as God's people, the church. Let's stand to sing, Speak, O Lord.